Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products.
Get a free audiobook of your choice at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Creed.
Yeah, get with the real man, fool.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello!
Out Now is a film podcast, which is Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back into other fun movie topics. This is episode 219, 219.
One step away from our milestone 220 episode.
Yeah, and three steps away from our milestone 222 episode.
That's actually very accurate.
That the ultimate palindrome. Said no one ever. But yeah, that's where we're at. 219 is where we're at today, and we're discussing Creed, the latest installment, somewhat in the Rocky series, kind of.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Regardless, Creed tearing up the charts, even though it's at number three, still made a good $45 million this past opening week for the film, along with The Good Dinosaur and the continuing Reign of the Mockingjay. But with all that said, for Creed, the movie we are discussing today, we have joining us to discuss Creed from Philly Weekly in the blue trunks and wearing the turquoise gloves, it's Zaki Hassan.
Hi, how's it going?
And from all the way back and Out Now with Aaron and Abe season one, in the teal shorts and wearing the bright orange gloves, it's Adam Gentry.
Hey guys, good to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back, Adam. It's been a little while. It's been a minute.
It's been too long. It's
been a while.
Wait, what color were Zaki's trunks?
Blue.
Blue and teal and then orange and...
Turquoise.
It's okay.
Battle. All
right.
But no, good to have Zaki.
You know, I'm glad we're just... I'm just really glad we're color coordinated.
You don't want to know what shorts I'm wearing right now.
Are you wearing any shorts?
I am, no. It's just...
Aaron and I usually record with our pants off.
Yeah, we call it the Pants Off Podcast behind the scenes.
Yeah, that was actually the first name, but it just didn't really...
It's because to power this show, we have giant heaters running under our computer, so it's just too hot. But no, Zaki, glad to have you back as well. You, of course, you perform valiantly in the games, which means you get to come back to the podcast.
So. Oh, happy to be here.
Yeah. But before we get underway with everything else, let's do some show notes stuff real quick. iTunes reviews and ratings. Abe, we got a new iTunes review.
I'm reading it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's from Philip, friend of the show. He writes, Aaron and Abe ain't no joke. They used to let the mic smoke. Now they slam it when they're done to make sure that it's broke. So that was a series of words strung together just as we've asked for to form a review. And we got
it. And he actually made a rap out of it. Yeah. So thanks, Philip.
Exactly. Yeah. So
the only thing that would make that review better would be a xylophone.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait. I think I might hear something from the distance. It's slowly approaching.
Yeah, how slowly is
slowly,
that?
Very slowly approaching. Is that something? Aaron, do I hear something there? Boom.
There
you
is.
Ask, we deliver. We're like Edward James almost.
I don't think anyone actually asked for that, but thanks. Thanks for putting me on the spot without just the name. Anyway, that's our iTunes review. You can send us iTunes reviews and ratings. It's good to get those. It helps out our show, helps other people find our show. You can log on to iTunes, send us a little star rating. You know, that'd be great right there. That puts us up on the iTunes charts. And if you want to be like Philip or any of the other over 40 people that have given us reviews now, which is...
Oh, I thought you meant like age. I was like, how do you know they're over 40?
People over 40 that have given us reviews only. Actually, it's only over 30. Correct myself. But, you know, it'd be great. It helps it helps out the show in general. So
well, over 30 over is 40. A more appealing demo. So
Yeah. But yeah, that'd be great to get more iTunes reviews. It's always good. All right, with that out of the way, let's get to Know Everybody. Each week we ask each other a question or two to set the tone for the podcast. I better get to Know Everybody. All right. Abe, why don't you start this one off?
All right. Simple question. This is one that I often think about. When you were a kid, what was your favorite dinosaur?
Oh. Favorite dinosaur. I liked dinosaurs as a kid. Just pointing that out there.
I liked a lot.
I had dinosaurs like I had like dinosaur toiletries, like a soap dish and a toothbrush thing and stuff like that. stuff like that, and like dinosaur posters and all kinds of that. I don't know why I went for the toiletries first. It's like that. This is proves that I'm a dinosaur fan. But that,
you got a rinse cup, and then you've got a dinosaur toothbrush. I'm imagining.
I did have a dinosaur rinse cup toothbrush. But I saw Jurassic Park came out when I was I guess 7 maybe. I saw that a few times at theaters. Dinosaurs didn't let me down. Although I think Land Before Time scared me, but I was also like 1 when that movie happened. So
Land Before Time scared me too. You're in good company,
right?
It's a pretty traumatic movie.
Yeah. With all that said, I've always liked liked a couple. I never really had like a favorite. I was a fan of the Stegosaurus. I like that thing a lot. T-Rex is like fine. It was never really like much of a like, hey, T-Rex are awesome. And then Raptors, I don't think anyone knew really about Raptors until Jurassic Park came out.
Yeah, I don't think me too. Exactly. My dinosaur knowledge was limited.
But I like the Stegosaurus in general. That's what I kind of call to. You guys?
I was always a Brontosaurus guy.
Yes.
Now I think now we're finding out. Didn't they discover that a Brontosaurus didn't actually ever exist?
There's Brontosaurus, and a Pachyosaurus.
They've gone back to Brontosaurus now.
Yeah, they've gone back to Brontosaurus, so I'm cool.
Full Brontosaurus.
Pluto's on the waiting list right now to go back to being a planet.
Oh, you took it. I was just going for the Pluto joke. But yeah, I mean, I guess I had a couple little dinosaur toys as a kid, and the Brontosaurus, I guess, was the one I liked the most. You could also spin his neck all the way around so that it was upside down, and that was always fun. Right. Always a good time.
He's always got to find a way to get air when he's, you know, running in the lake.
Zachy, you have a favorite dinosaur?
I got to say, I think it was T-Rex for me, just because I was a generic kid and everybody else kind of was on the T-Rex bandwagon, and I'm a follower, not a leader, so.
Perfectly acceptable answer. Hey, he's being honest.
The self-deprecation is always wonderful.
We love honesty here on the show.
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's a fight in a boxing or any kind of sports film that's just always been intensely satisfying for you?
Oh, man, I can answer this because I just watched it about 10 minutes before getting on. The title bout in Rocky II.
Ah.
When Rocky wins the championship.
That's a great one. I'll follow you up by saying Rocky III.
Club of Lang.
Which I think I just I mentioned this in our Rocky IV commentary, which is available now. And it is fun. And
I've listened to it. It's fun.
I like the Rocky films. Rocky III isn't even my favorite Rocky sequel, but the fight between him and Clubber Lang, there's such a like intense satisfaction I get from this like guy who's been a huge jerk for the entire, to say the least, for the entire movie. It's like, finally, Rocky's just knocking this guy out. Like, that just makes me so happy. So that's the one I have off my pants.
Is it because he makes fun of his wife?
Well, that doesn't help.
You know, the real about. Man. It's like, what?
Mine would be, I don't know, it's not technically boxing.
I said sports film, so you can do
but,
it.
But Warrior. I'll go with the last fight of Warrior.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one is just so great. Really enjoyed that film, and the last fight just kind of makes the movie.
There's what I love about Warrior. I like a lot of things about Warrior, but I love that you love both sides. Like, you really want. There's not a bad side to win this bout. Like, obviously, there's more of. I guess you can lean one way or the other, but neither person is like kind of fighting for something that's, you know, not worthy, I guess.
Yeah, they're not bad guys. You know, they just have differences and whatnot.
They provide
that is,
a very
that
good
is like
reason.
The ultimate use for the phrase, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Abe, do you have one?
I do. Straight to video movie Best of the Best with Philip Rhee. And
Best of the Best.
There's this fight with Eric Roberts, and I think his name is Sejon Quinn or something, where, you know, he after he's gotten his elbow or his shoulder all knocked around and whatever, and then he goes in for like the sidestep thing. It was really nice. It was, you know, his son and mother were there, and it was just, you know, this is the lead up to the final fight. But I was glad that Eric Roberts was able to pull it off.
Yeah, Sejin Kwan, there we go.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna be like, "What the fuck is that movie?" It's like, go see it. It's one of the best straight to VHS movies ever.
Oh boy. Okay. Was it straight to VHS? I don't know if it
was. Yeah.
I know it had sequels that were, for
it
sure.
There's
three sequels. Best of the Best 2.
Three sequels?
Best of the Best 3, No Turning Back. And Best of the Best 4, Without Warning.
I'm pretty sure it was all straight to VHS.
Ernie Hudson's in Best of the Best 4.
I've never seen Best of the Best 4. I've seen
not yet. Eric Roberts was in Best of the Best 2.
He was, yeah.
And then Tommy Lee was in Best of the Best 3, because why not?
So I think he actually, the Philip Reed actually ended up writing and directing the next.
He did, yeah. He's in all of them after that point. Yeah. And that concludes our Best of the Best podcast recap. So,
tune in next time for the commentary track.
And that's how you play.
No, everybody.
All right, let's move on now to Auto Quickies.
Yep.
Each week and out now, we have what maybe be the week that we talk about. But we all have what maybe be the week that we talk about Auto Quickies.
Yep.
Crushed it this week.
I think you got it.
Okay. Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
Couple. Good Dinosaur and Room, but I'll talk about Room, I guess. In terms of Room, it's... I wish that people went to go see more of Brie Larson's work. I think she's really, really talented, and she does a lot of, like she does, like, a lot of comedy stuff, like 21 and 22 Jump Street, but her dramatic roles
22
are,
Jump Street.
Or 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
But, well, Short Term 12 was fantastic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, her dramatic roles, like Short Term 12 and Room are just incredible, and she's a young actress. She's, like, 26 years old, and it blows me away that, you know... I mean, I'm grateful that she takes these roles where it challenges her on a level that you don't really see a lot of young actors take. But Room itself is, I like the story because it's told from somewhat the son's point of view, and the way that he describes the world in which he's living. Like, he does it three times, kind of like a off-camera voiceover type thing. And I also like how it deals with post-fact of what happens. You know, a lot of the trauma that happens after an ordeal like this with a family, but also just, you know, mostly with this son and this mother. But it's very, at times it can be difficult to watch, but it's a very good film. Just, again, acting and the way that the shots are directed as well. Because you see a lot of, for whatever reason, I started noticing that there's a lot of shots on characters, yes, but they show the length of a room or they show the length of a hallway. And that was, it kind of just reminds me that they came from this room and it's their whole world, or at least it's the son's whole world. So everything just is form-fitting in a way that makes you realize that, I don't know, he just sees it in a certain way. In any case...
The cinematography, I agree, it's deceptively simple, where, like, it's not a flashy movie in terms of, right, like, how it's shot, but, like, when you really look at what's happening, there's a lot of very clever camera placement that is not going to... I can't imagine being noticed as well as it needs to be compared to other movies that are, you know, much more overt with their cinematography this year.
Right, which is...
It's not a bad thing. I mean, other
it's
movies...
It's not a bad thing at all.
Other movies do great things. It's just Room as... There's a lot of talent to be put into something like Room where you can't, you notice something's amiss, but you can't quite put your finger on it.
Yeah. And again, yeah, I agree with this cinematography. It just speaks to something that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. These simple films that are very, very good, like Spotlight and also Brooklyn. Yeah. They're excellent movies that are just not very flashy. So Room, go see it. I know that it's kind of been released for a few weeks now, but it's still playing in some theater, so if you have time, I definitely would go recommend it.
Adam, have you seen any other movies recently?
Yeah, I saw Hunger Games a couple of days ago. Thought that was all right. Not quite as strong as the second film, which I think is the best one in the series. But I saw By the Sea last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Box office smash.
It was unfortunate because it was one of those things where... I really felt like Angelina had seen a lot of better films and wanted to try to make something like that. But it really just kind of comes off like a poor imitation of Antonioni or something like that. And it's very, you know, methodical, very meticulous, but there's just not much going on. And ironically enough, the movie that I thought of a lot at the end was Interstellar. Because with both films, you're watching and you're trying to figure out kind of what's going on, what the central mystery is, why these characters are doing what they're doing, what the secret is, whatever. And then by the time you get to the end and you figure out what the secret is, you're just so bummed out at how stupid it is that it just pisses you off.
He ate the last pistachio?
Yeah, it's too bad because
my problem with By the Sea was that I knew what was going on, and the movie, like, I liked that it was playing it fairly ambiguous for the most part, or just kind of like letting you piece together things, and then the movie decides to have like a thesis at the end. It's like, my wife blah, 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 blah. This is the meaning of the movie. Here you go.
And I was cool with it for about an hour. The first hour or so, I was still with the movie. I was wanting to see where it was going to go. But then she was just kind of hitting people over the head with the symbolism and these kind of a lot of repetition. You're seeing a lot of the same images, a lot of the same things. And you know, you get to a point where you just kind of want it to be done. By the time I got to the end, I just thought, you know, the actual twist, such as it was just stupid.
As I described to Abe, the By the Sea is about 5 minutes shorter than Unbroken.
I remember I asked you.
It would be much more epic in scope versus the two people bitch at each other for like 2 hours movie. So
exactly.
By the Sea currently burning up the box office as we speak. So there you go. Zach,
but a pretty poster. Gotta say, the poster's really nice. If you want to experience the film, look at the poster for 2 seconds. You'll be happier.
Actually, before I get to Zach, Adam, did you see The Great Beauty? I forget.
I know, I never did. I've heard nothing but great things about it, but I never did.
Well, because I mentioned that because the film Youth is from the same director, Paul Sorrento, and he's very much drawn to that kind of style of like Italian experimental cinema, like 60s, 50s.
Didn't he do This Must Be the Place with Sean Penn?
Yes, he did, and I like that.
That was a good one. Too.
But he did the film Youth, which is coming out, and I'm very curious what your thoughts on that. But in terms of kind of being, as a person who I know appreciates, and to me, like just various Italian directors or whatnot.
Looking forward to it. I've really enjoyed their marketing campaign, I'll put it that way. So I'm looking forward to seeing the film.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious your reaction to a film like that, which I think handles that type of material paying homage in that sort of way a lot better than what Angelina Jolie attempted, which is, you know, she made her she tried, like she did her thing. It's not a bad looking movie, that's for sure.
I think the studio kind of let her do it just to kind of I think it was a favor.
Oh yeah, for sure,
because I think they want her to be in something else later, and you know, they're just, you know, being friendly
or direct something else later.
I heard they're trying to get her to be Bride of Frankenstein. That's what I've been
That'd be interesting.
You know, I'm not against that at all, actually. She'd have to one-up Madeline Kahn and Young Frankenstein, of course. But, I mean, you know, we'll see if she has the comedy chops. I assume this version of Frankenstein would have to be somewhat more humorous.
It's going to be a comedy, we know that for sure.
After watching Dracula Untold, I mean, there's only so many
ways
to go.
When she walks out with the top hat and tails, you know it's all on.
Brad Pitt is Victor Frankenstein. And they sing Bruno and On the Ritz together.
That's right.
Anyway, Zachy, have you seen any of the movies recently?
I have, actually. I saw The Big Short last week, which is about the financial crisis in 06, 07, or 07, 08, and it's directed by Adam McKay. And it is, I loved it. As soon as it was done, I went down to the Starbucks, got on their Wi-Fi, and downloaded the audiobook that the movie's based on, just because I wanted to, you know, get even a better sense of what the film covers. And I loved it. Absolutely.
Did
loved
you
it.
Use audibletrial.com/NFPodcast?
I should have.
You could have gotten an audiobook for free.
I realized that.
And then just ended the subscription 30 days later.
Or kept the subscription, because why not? It's fun to get out. He likes to listen to audiobooks. Why not? Why deny him of this?
So be a winner. Read.
Listen at audibletrial.com/NFPodcast. Who narrates the audiobook? I'm just curious.
I don't know, to be honest.
So it's not like not one of those famous folks that do audiobooks.
It's not like Christian Bale or anything, yeah.
It's not Christian Bale.
he's busy. He is in the movie, of course. The movie has Christian Bale, Brad Pitt, who else?
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Steve Carell. Yeah. Steve Carell.
Ryan Gosling.
Baby Goose.
I mean, Steve Carell is fantastic. He's kind of the ostensible lead. But it's you know, if you watch the trailers are kind of making it, and I get why, because it's a hard sell, but they're making it look like an Ocean's 11 type thing, and it is not that at all.
It seems like anytime Brad Pitt's involved in something that like involves like putting something against something else, it's like, it's Ocean's 11 meets this. Like, that's the movie you're always
right.
Remember like when Moneyball came out, it's like, it's Ocean's 11 meets The Social Network. Like,
meets baseball.
But yeah, it's really, really good. And I think it's going to be, I'm actually very curious to see how it does, because it's going to be a hard sell, because just the subject matter is not obviously, something that people are necessarily going to be rushing out to want to see. But I think it's not hard to understand. It's actually a pretty open story. It's about people. It's about characters. And I think Adam McKay did a fantastic job, really, balancing some very dark humor with what is a fairly dramatic story, you know. And I think it almost play. I don't know if you guys have seen 99 Homes.
Yes.
It's almost like the mirror image version of that movie, where it's like different approaches at tackling the financial crisis, you know.
Yeah, I'm very much interested in seeing it, mainly because of Adam McKay's taking on a directorial challenge like this. That's has my interest right there. And, you know, it has a good cast, and I'm interested in the subject matter and whatnot. So, yeah, The Big Short, I believe, opens on the 11th of December in limited release and then spreads wider from there.
Nice.
I have seen a couple things. Did anyone else see The Good Dinosaur besides Abe?
No, never did.
Nope. Okay, well, we'll get to The Good Dinosaur in a second. First, I want to mention Trumbo, because I did mention I wanted to see Trumbo, and my girlfriend and I did see Trumbo.
Oh, that's the movie with Dumbo playing a trumpet, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dumbo plays a trumpet. Donald Trump's there. It's great.
But you remember his name.
Exactly. But no, Trumbo's a film with Bryan Cranston as the writer Dalton Trumbo, who was blacklisted back in the 60s, 70s. And I was excited to see this, similar to why I'm excited to see The Big Short, because Jay Roach handled this film, who Jay Roach is known for both the Meet the Parents and Austin Powers films, as well as doing the HBO films Recount and Game Change.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And so seeing this film where he takes on, you know, somewhat kind of a comedy drama of sorts, it's like a biopic, I was intrigued to see what he could bring to it, and I really like this movie. I wouldn't say I'm as high on it as I am on something like Spotlight, for instance, as far as kind of biographical period dramas go. It's weird to call that a period drama, by the way, Spotlight, since it's only like so many years ago, but it is.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I just perked my ears. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. But regardless, Trumbo, very, very entertaining. It's a movie I feel there's a way to have made this like a miniseries, and you could have fleshed out some of the characters more, I think. Like, it was like a 3-part HBO miniseries, and I wouldn't have been like too upset with that idea, because watching this movie, I can tell there's like stuff that's probably could have been, it's probably more of this that's like deleted or whatnot. And at 2 hours, it never like slows down. I never really feel it being like slacking in its pacing, but like it does feel, I do feel the length. But regardless, Bryan Cranston's very good in this film. There's a lot of great actors in here. I'm very happy to see Louis C.K. taking on work like this, just because I like Louis C.K. in general. Helen Mirren plays a horrible person, which makes me happy also. Michael Stuhlbarg's had an excellent year, This just like continues that for him. I mean, between this and Steve Jobs and Pawn Sacrifice, which I really liked him in, like he, I like seeing him pop up in things, and I'm like, well, here he is playing Edward G. Robinson in a fairly challenging. Like, there's a lot of actors playing other actors in the movie, like Kirk Douglas, for example,
John Wayne.
Oh yeah, John Wayne. Yeah, Jack. Yeah. And so of those, I really liked what Stuhlbarg did the most, is right, because it felt less like a caricature and more like, hey, I'm doing a performance here, mainly because he's more involved in the film. But no, Trumbo. You know, not amazing, but I still really liked it. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. The Good Dinosaur, Abe.
The Good Dinosaur.
I know we teased the idea of talking about both Creed and The Good Dinosaur, but I feel like Creed was worth more of the discussion. But let's still give some due diligence to The Good Dinosaur, I guess. What did you think of The Good Dinosaur?
I thought it was kind of a flat movie. And,
right?
That's more along the lines of the emotional things that are at play, because they ask you to root for Arlo, which is the dinosaur. He's basically the runt of a litter.
He's the Charlie Brown of dinosaurs.
Yeah,
as my girlfriend was very happy to point out as we saw this movie.
That's a great point. But it's there's no real drive in this dinosaur. Like, sure, he wants to make a name for himself, but you don't really get a sense of that he has worked incredibly hard. I mean, he's kind of just scared of a lot of things. So when he has to go on this journey, it's fine. But I kind of was just thinking, like, why would he do some of this stuff? Like, he's been so afraid. It reminded me of, like, the Pagemaster.
Nice. The idea is that they're growing as characters, that they need to surpass.
Sure, but I mean, like, even in, like, the Pagemaster, if people have seen that, it's like Macaulay Culkin.
Even in that 21-year-old Pagemaster movie that's a box office success that everyone remembers starring Macaulay Culkin and a bunch of animated characters.
And Christopher Lloyd. No, but I mean, they're similar in that Macaulay Culkin is this character that's like, he's just afraid of a lot of things. His dad wants him to get him out there and do some stuff. And then he's forced to go do these things, and He finally realizes that, hey, I am a human being. But
do the dinosaurs talk in this movie?
Yes, they do.
They do. Okay. Yeah. And I'll last to say that Spot is the heart of this movie. Like, I love Spot. I love the way that he's able to draw.
Well, their relationship is, like, the heart of this movie.
True, but, I mean, I feel like Spot is a huge catalyst in that. And
well, yeah,
some things that Spot
it's
does.
The one person he interacts with in this movie. Like,
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Spot's the human character that
he's the rodent.
I will say this. I was so intrigued by the idea of this movie and the concept it presented in the same way I was intrigued by Cars, as far as how does a world composed of nothing but cars, which I assume is a post-apocalypse or Cars Evolved, works, where this movie is dinosaurs. That's the only one that makes sense to me.
So, we've melded into metal?
I guess. I don't know. How what's your explanation? Because I don't have one.
I don't know. I mean, okay. Got to be some alien spaceship.
But the good dinosaur, the idea that an asteroid's missed Earth, and it's just millions of years later, dinosaurs are still around, and humans are just, like, not the dominant species. That's such an interesting idea to me. And this movie even opens with some, like, neat concepts. We're like, oh, this family of dinosaurs are farmers. They're like, not just like, hey, we're, like, growing stuff. Like, they plow with their heads. They plow, like, fields, and they plant seeds, and they water it. They have a whole system of how to farm. I just kept wondering, like, how else does this world work? Like, this is the farming community. Like, is there an urban area? Like, are there cities? Like, do they have suits?
Well,
like, what do they do?
It was kind of like a Western.
This portion of the world was like a Western. So I'm wondering, like, what else goes on in this world where dinosaurs still exist and can now talk and do human-like activities such as farming? Like,
I think all your questions are going to get answered in Zootopia.
I guess so.
That's a great trailer for Zootopia.
But no, the concept sound, but yeah, the movie just felt so flat to me. Like, just like you said, Abe, like, it just, like, it's a gorgeous movie. Like, the environments
it's fantastic.
It's like, it goes for this photoreal approach, which I found to be interesting, given that the cartoon characters are very cartoony. Like, they're, which makes more sense in context. Like, there's a number of spots where Arlo gets injured, and you really, like, feel it, because even though he looks like a goofy dinosaur cartoon, it's still, you see, like, the bruises and scratches and stuff. It's like, okay, well, this works better now, I guess, than I'm seeing this cartoon animal get harmed. But in terms of, like, what the choice to, like, have photorealistic environments mixed with, like, really exaggerated dinosaur characters.
Right.
But
and I will say that the world that they build isn't as fleshed out as, like, they go explore other parts, sure, but I got a better sense of a world from watching something like, what's the movie with Nicolas Cage voicing?
The Croods?
Croods, yeah, The Croods.
Well, there's stuff happens in that movie. Regardless of how much you like that movie, things happen. Where The Good Dinosaur is just like, I'm here and I need to get here. Like, that's the movie. And it's just, the emotional draw is just not really there. Like, there's parts that are designed to make you cry, much like many Pixar movies in general, but it's just not nearly as, like, memorable.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt as though they kind of went for some, not cheaper cries, but
they go for the one that you always get with any kind of Disney movie, parent dies. I mean, that's standard.
Yeah.
Go
see Inside Out.
Yeah, there you go. Which both of us had issues with, but we still like it a lot. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, did you, anybody else?
That's everybody.
Oh, okay.
That's why I do this last. I go last. That's how I know.
I wasn't sure if anybody had something to chime in on.
But no one else saw The Good Dinosaur.
So. Okay. Nope. All right.
So that's how I know quickies.
I can chime in, but there's not going to be worth much.
All right.
The trailer looks great.
Anyway, moving on now. Let's get to our trailer talk, where we talk about one of the newest trailers, what is coming out, what we thought of it, what have you. This week we have Captain America: Civil War. The third chapter in the Captain America saga, the, I don't know, 12th or 13th chapter in the MCU.
Would this be considered the first
the
movie?
First
of
entry in Phase 3 of the MCU.
Okay, got it.
This film, once again, has Chris Evans as Captain America. He's still going after the Winter Soldier. He's trying to find him. Seems like he finds him in this trailer, along with Anthony Mackie. But this time, trouble ensues as Robert Downey Jr., as Tony Stark and his gang of superheroes, find that there's something that divides the group of them. With that very vague and obvious description aside, Zachy, what did you think of this trailer?
You know, I liked it. I wasn't necessarily blown away by it, but I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just feel like at this point we've got a baseline of what to expect from the MCU movies. So I saw the trailer. I was like, all right, I'm in. I wasn't like, oh my God, I want it tomorrow. I'm like, it looks fine. I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know?
Adam?
Yeah, I'm right there with Zachy. I mean, at this point, I'll go see anything they do pretty much on opening weekend. And I'm really excited by the concept, and I'll be excited to see how they flesh it out. But to be honest, the trailer kind of seemed a little bit smaller in scope than I had thought it would be. And it just sort of seems like it builds up to a couple of set pieces where they're fighting, and it looked like they were even fighting in some kind of small enclosed spaces and whatnot. So it just, yeah, it didn't really wow me that much, but I'm, still totally go opening weekend.
Abe?
I'm excited to see it too. I agree with Zachy and Adam that it wasn't really something where I was like, oh man, I'm going to like completely go ape shit over this. It's just more that I'm excited that there's another Captain America movie, because I think that his story arc in the entire MCU has been one of the ones that I follow closely and one of the better ones.
Well, it helps that we both really love the first Avenger. So
indeed, yeah.
That's a great movie.
Like, all of his movies are a little bit more grounded in some reality sort of. And again, the Russo brothers are, what they did with Winter Soldier just blew me away. So I'm excited that they're back, and I'm glad that they've got some tension going on. But I agree with Adam that the scope seems a little bit small, and I know that they're focused a little bit more on the people that you have met in all the Marvel movies. So that it's not like they're gonna throw the whole entire like comic universe into this movie. But just in terms of that, I'm kind of curious what they are going to do. Regardless, I'm excited for it. I know that they're not gonna mess this one up. Or at least I hope they don't mess this one up. And I'm going to go see it.
I'm obviously excited. I'm surprised that you guys aren't as big on this trailer. I'm not saying that I need to see it yesterday. Like, it's not Star Wars as far as that goes. But this is one of the first trailers in a while that I've watched again and again and again. Like, I don't do that very often anymore, except for ones that really kind of impress me or make me, like, excited for various reasons, or just like I just enjoy the editing or the score.
Secret Life of Pets,
yes. yeah, aside from like Star Wars, this is like one of the first trailers I've like watched a number of times, and I was really impressed by what I was seeing. I know this the Civil War story comic wise. I'm curious how it will be adapted for the screen. I can see hints of what they're doing, of how they're trying to make it work, but regardless, I really like seeing this trailer. I love that I got to see a glimpse of Black Panther for the first time. Excited to see Black Panther. The focus being on Captain America makes me happy, because it's not Avengers 3, it's Captain America. So I'm glad that this the trailer told this, for as far as this trailer goes, it tells the story from his perspective still. Like, we're not following Captain America so we can make room for every other Avenger that's also in this movie. But that also shocked me that you guys think the scope is limited, where I'm seeing two groups of Avengers fighting each other. It's like, that seems pretty big to me. I don't know about that. There's a lot going on here.
I will say, from my end, I don't necessarily mind the more limited scope. I actually prefer that, because I was thinking about, like, as far as these the upcoming slate, I think the ones that I'm sort of least anticipating are the Infinity War ones. Because I feel like it's just going to be a bunch of special effects, and I've always had third act problems with some of these big Marvel movies.
Agree.
And for me, Winter Soldier was the one that worked the best, because ultimately it just came down to Cap and Bucky just going at it, So the scope I actually didn't have a problem with. I'm actually the only thing I'm hoping is that the movie itself has more surprises in store, because the trailer kind of just lays out A, B, C, and here's the story. And I hope that the movie itself, I hope that they left some of that out of the trailer,
I can only assume that. I think they know pretty well how to market these things. I think
it's true.
Yes, I think obviously that, you have Robert Downey Jr., you're gonna add that fact to the trailer. But there's knowing this story as well as I do, and having an idea of where they would take it, I'm very excited to see where those things are, because I think there are a lot of surprises that could come in their way.
But that's cool too, because if you look at the way that it's kind of laid out, each side has a point.
Yeah.
It's not one of those cases where it's like, oh, you know, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. It's like, well, no, they're both fighting for their own reasons, and they have good reasons, and they just happen to be different reasons.
Yeah, which is why Civil War, comic-wise, is a very interesting story. There's a lot of intrigue in it, and it has a lot of, like, there's, like, a main book by Mark Millar, but there's also, like, a number of, like, spin-off books that just surrounded that entire kind of
The Frontline series I remember liking.
Uh-huh. The Spider-Man issues were really neat as well. Like, there's a lot of just and which, you know, may or may not play into this movie.
We'll see.
We all know it will. But
I don't want to get my hopes up.
But yeah, no, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that are going to go into this, I'm sure. And but regardless, trailer wise, I mean, you got to see Bucky and Cap fighting Robert Downey Jr. Like, I mean, like I said, Tony Stark and Robert Downey, they're such interchangeable names to me at this point. It's like, I don't care which one's which. You got to see Cap, Winter Soldier, and Iron Man duking
it out.
Let's
say that Tony Stark became an actor and changed his name to Robert Downey Jr.
You might as well.
Yeah.
But
let's
like,
I
was really, like, psyched by that. And again, Black Panther's here. Like,
yeah, definitely. I mean, Black Panther running through the tunnel and,
like,
you know,
see, like, maybe,
the
like,
zooming shot.
2 seconds of him, but that just gets me going right away.
Yeah, it's a great costume design too, and
it is a sick costume.
The score for the trailer is fantastic.
I love
this.
The score for that. These are all reasons why I watched this multiple times. Like, I'm just really for and yes, Abe, I agree with you. I am, you know, I'm super invested in the Captain America story arc. I do think he's my favorite character in this MCU. I like what Chris Evans has done with him. I like the way they've written this character. It could have been such a kind of straight and narrow, you know, Boy Scout, but I think he's so much more interesting in the way he's handled him for this series so far. That
yeah,
totally agree.
And he's got such a great outlook on the rest of the world because, you know, he's this straight up transplant. So when he's looking at this new world that he's not, he didn't, you know, kind of grow up in, he's able to see the contrast just so much more clearly, and it kind of makes you look at, you know, the world around you a little bit differently.
Yeah,
for sure. Captain America: colon, Civil War opens May 6th, 2016, just in time for my birthday. So yeah, there you go.
I made that happen for you, buddy.
Thank you. I'm glad you got in touch with the Russos and with Kevin Feige, and we're like, hey.
Yeah, I was like,
by
hey,
the way,
you know, we're you know the 265th rated podcast on iTunes. Can you do something for me?
Hey, Abe. We're in the top 100. I'll just put that right there. of entertainment and film. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to... let's do the thing. Let's do that thing where we talk about the main movie of the week. Here we are. We're going to review the film Creed.
This kid's been nowhere. He's never faced nobody. You don't know nothing about me. You a false Creed.
You do this, you're going into a storm.
What's wrong with you?
Somebody help!
Rocky's sick.
I found life in the darkest of times.
If I break, I ain't gonna fix it.
I found life.
Everything I got is moved on, and I'm here.
You're sitting here crying about nobody's around for you. I'm here for you every day. I'm standing right in front of you.
Just like any other fight. So if I fight, you fight.
That should have been some of the trailer for Creed. This is the follow-up film from director Ryan Coogler, who made a name for himself with Fruitvale Station, which starred Michael B. Jordan. The two are back together again for a Rocky spinoff of all things. This story involves the son of Apollo Creed, who has grown up not quite knowing who he is, but looking to prove himself. He takes his chance by heading to Philadelphia and convincing the great Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion himself, to be his trainer. Soon, young Creed, Adonis, finds himself facing the odds against a very tough opponent. Can he go the distance? Zachy, are you a fan of the Rocky series, and did you think Creed went the distance?
I'm a lifelong fan of the Rocky series. I watched all of them. I like the fifth one. That's how much of a fan I am.
Wow.
And
good ideas in that movie. I could agree with that at the very least.
That I'll
street
that,
fighting.
It's like a third very good and two thirds not as good, but that one third that's very good is enough for me.
Fair enough.
And I loved Creed. I absolutely loved it. I was, you know, what I said when I watched Rocky Balboa back in 06 was it felt like we got to spend some more time with a friend who we never thought we'd see again. And we know that we have a limited amount of time. And I was kind of like, well, if this is the last that we ever see of Rocky, that's totally fine. And so I have to give it up for Sylvester Stallone being willing to bring Rocky back in it's a key role, but it's a subordinate role. And, you know, he's made a fantastic, he's participated, I should say, in a fantastic film. It really, it's stands head and shoulders above many of the sequels, I think.
Adam.
Confession. I've actually never seen a Rocky film in its entirety before this kind of spinoff. So this is kind of my introduction. And so for Creed, I mean, I wasn't sure, you know, fully what to expect. I wasn't sure if I would embrace it with arms wide open or if I would be, you know, rusted and weathered or how that was going to work.
You guys don't know what Adam's doing. Google what he's saying.
But, you know, it's funny because I actually just saw Fruitvale Station about 2 weeks ago. I hadn't seen it, so it was kind of fresh in my mind. I was really excited to see what Coogler and Jordan did. You know, I liked it. It was solid. It kind of hits the notes you expect it to hit, you know, overall. It was great to see Sylvester Stallone. I mean, having not seen one of the whole movies, I've still am pretty familiar with the character and whatnot. So, you know, even though I don't have as much of investment as someone like Zaki, it still felt really cool to see this guy and, you know, knowing kind of what he meant and whatever. The last fight scene is really well photographed and just got a lot of momentum and whatnot. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I had a couple issues here and there. I thought it got a little bit melodramatic at times, and I think Michael B. Jordan has the face of a leading man, but I don't think he always has the chops. Sometimes he really nails certain moments, and other moments it just kind of feels like he's, you know, you can kind of see the cracks in what he's trying to do. But overall, I really enjoyed it.
Abe?
As far as Rocky series goes, I do like all of them. I think that I like 5 more than Aaron likes 5. I don't know if I like it as much as Zachy likes 5, but I do mention Tommy the Machine Gun from time to time. And for whatever reason, I didn't really like when they had this arc with his son kind of bullying the guy to get the other guy's girlfriend. That was one of many problems. Yeah, one of many problems, yeah. In terms of Creed, I really liked this movie. It's really good. And what I liked about it is that it feels more like a sequel to Rocky 1. And by that I mean that Rocky himself is more Rocky from Rocky 1. You know, he's kind of, it's not that he's bumbling, but he's very, like, you know, very down to earth, kind of still low key, doesn't really care that people know who he is because he's just about, you know, missing his family. And there's a great chat with him just hanging out, talking about the news with Adrian and Polly, and that was really nice. Like,
you gotta rewatch some Rocky films.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I'm sure like, that there's more.
Like
to
even
it.
5, which you're praising, that's what that movie does. It takes away all of his money and puts him back to being Rocky 1 again.
That is true. Yeah, but for the most part, it's a pretty good movie. I think that there's some strong action going on along with this. It's a pretty good script as well. Again, nothing too flashy in terms of, you know, Adonis is like this firecracker. He's like, oh, I'm the son of Apollo Kid. I'm gonna go out there and kick some heads in. Nah, he's actually they develop his character a little bit more, and they give him some backstory that allows you to understand that this guy, he's a smart guy, and even Rocky points it out to him. He's a smart guy. I don't know why you want to go into boxing kind of thing. But hands down, this is like an amazing performance by Sylvester Stallone. I think that there's a lot of nuance in the character that you will miss, because even I thought about that during the movie, where I was thinking, man, like, if this is the end of the Rocky series, I'm going to miss this fake character that I really believe is real, that I really believe that Rocky Balboa is this real guy. And again, he puts on this performance that is really, really good. I will say that I like the way that they entered in some of the modern-day techniques in cinema. I mean, some of the slow-mo stuff is great. Also, the way that they use graphics on the screen is pretty neat. I didn't expect to see that. And when I did see that, it's almost like a video game, sure, but also at the same time, it's like, this is cool. This is intriguing. And I agree with Adam that toward the end of the movie is just fantastic. This is this lights out sequence, which kind of just means that I'm kind of getting in the zone now. I'm kind of blocking everybody out. And it was really neat to see some of the camera stuff. But on the whole, it's a pretty good follow-up to the series. If it is a closeout to the series, it is fantastic. And if it is, you know, going to go off and do more Michael B. Jordan, Apollo Creed, son movies, then I hope that they continue on with some very strong movie making.
I've seen this movie twice.
I wanted to go see it twice.
I was over the moon with this movie. I think this, like, as far as kind of a mainstream entertaining movie goes, this is exactly what I want in that. Like, this does everything for me. Like, it's very entertaining to watch. It has drama, it has humor, it has the really well done fight sequences. Like, I really love what Coogler's doing with the his long takes. He has a number of long takes in this film, regardless if they're, you know, actual long takes or stitched together. Right. The first two fights that we see, the second fight we see in particular, you see the entire fight in one shot. Like, there's just some really neat stuff like that. Yeah. That just impressed me in ways that I wasn't expecting. I mean, I love Fruitvale Station when it came out. It was my second favorite movie of the year. And I was very excited to see what Coogler would do next. And hearing that he'd do a Creed movie, of all things, like, well, that's something. And it turned out just better than I had ever expected. Like, I think the performances from Michael B. Jordan, Stallone, and Tessa Thompson, I think they all do their parts really well. I love the way they, Adam mentioned melodrama. I wouldn't say it's not without melodrama, but I think there's a lot of things that are underplayed here that could have been taken way far to the extreme in the other direction as far as certain plot developments going on with certain characters. For this kind of movie, I thought it just played it really well. And for, you know, a movie that's over 2 hours, I did not feel the length in this movie. It just felt like it kept moving. Things kept happening. The characters were developed well enough where I just wanted to follow along with these people. And Abe, you mentioned, you know, Stallone as Rocky and, you know, a great send-off to the character or whatnot. I agree. I would miss this character if I didn't see him again. And it's because Stallone really invests in the Rocky persona. Like, there's... I love calling out Bruce Willis on this, but, like, as much as I love the Die Hard movies, the last thing I would have ever expected Bruce Willis to do was to disrespect the John McClane character. And that's what really pissed me off the most about that fifth Die Hard movie. Regardless of how good the movie was, I was kind of at least hoping that I'd see John McClane again. And he disappointed me by just phoning it in on one of his key characters he's ever played. This is not the case with Rocky Balboa. Stallone invests in playing this character. It feels like the same person who I've watched go over the years, and I just watched all six of these movies before seeing Creed. But there's a consistency throughout these films. It never feels like he's not paying respect to this iconic character he's created. And that very much helps, yeah?
And the subplot with Rocky, it really is the most, I think, effective part of the movie. I mean, it's really moving.
It's very involving,
And when you see kind of what he's going through and whatnot, which I don't think is really a spoiler because it's I think it's part of the trailers and whatnot.
Trailer.
But yeah, really, really affecting stuff. And when you kind of see him suffer and his appearance change over the course of the movie, it kind of hurts your heart a little bit.
It does, and you feel for it. You feel, I mean, you, because it's because Rocky's such an endearing and nice and good-hearted person.
No, I don't even know what I'm doing here because I got other plans in my life and this wasn't part of it. Your father was special. Tell you the truth, I don't know if he's special. Only you're gonna know that when the time is right. And it ain't gonna come overnight. You're gonna take a beat, you're gonna take this, you're gonna get knocked out, you're gonna get up, and you're gonna see if you got the right thing. But you gotta work hard. I swear to God, if you're not gonna do it, I'm out.
Like, there's nothing wrong with this man whatsoever, besides, like, various choices he might have made that weren't the wisest, but never out of, like, for the sake of being a mean person.
Right.
Like, there's such a, which is this movie in general. There's that's something I really like about this movie. As much as there, you know, there's people boxing and there's people that have anger issues, but no one's ever being like mean. Like straight, like there's like, it's like one altercation that happens with Adonis where it's just more because of just the emotional state he's in, but no one's ever like, there's no villain. Even the other boxer in this movie, he gets his own like mini arc of sorts. Like, there's a reason why he needs to do one last fight.
I mean, I was going to mention that too. Like, two things. One of them, the villain. Yeah. He's not really a villain.
He's not a villain. He's just an opponent.
When you have this chat with him, he's like, I don't want to go out like this. Like, this kid, he's a kid. He doesn't have any pro fights. Why am I going to fight this guy? He's like, just do it. It could be your last fight. It's like, I guess, but again, he's at odds with himself about this fight. And the other thing is,
he's the Apollo Creed of this movie because Apollo's never the villain; he's the antagonist. But
he's basically just the heavyweight champion of the world, and yeah, basically you follow along in that it's
lightweight champion of the
world. Lightweight champion of the
pound
world.
For pound champion of the world,
pound for pound number one, like 37-0 or something like that. Yeah. But
never been knocked down.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, like, when I finished watching Creed, I went back and watched Rocky 1, because they're all on Netflix, and Rocky 1 is, I mean, there's really good drama in there, and the two scenes that I really like are the one where he's talking about Adrian, about the birds, you know, he's just waiting outside the shop with his head on, and the scene that I really like a lot is when he's, when Mickey comes to visit him, he's like, yeah, what about me in my prime, Mick? You know, you left me. And it's like, damn, dude.
It's great.
Like, Rocky's got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Those are those moments why he got nominated for Best Actor in that movie.
Like, yeah, and, like, that scene really still gets me. Like, you know, like, he thinks that Mick leaves the room, but he's still there, and he just goes back in the bathroom kind of thing. But, yeah, you know, this is why Rocky – this is why I find Rocky super endearing. It's like what Aaron mentioned. He's just really a human character. And
well, and can I just add to that? I mean, what's so great about that scene is he has this emotional breakdown, but then he runs after Mick, and he's like, hey – I mean, you know, that's what makes that scene work so well.
Yeah, let's not forget, too, I mean, this is the movie that won Best Picture over All the President's Men, Bound for Glory, Network, and Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
That's not a shabby list.
Yeah.
And it's, not to go too much into Rocky as opposed to Creed, but Rocky, it feels like it doesn't get enough credit sometimes. It feels like it seems like people think it stole the Oscar from these movies that are considered classics. Rocky's also a classic. Like, it's not like nobody liked this movie and it just kind of won. Like, it did something for a reason. Like,
yeah. Back to Creed, I definitely liked the what they did with the story, which is, again, it's a little bit more fleshed out, but I like the relationship between Michael B. Jordan and Rocky and Sly Stallone. I mean, what happens is, sure, they're not really related, but they're kind of related because they're kind of best friends, son kind of thing. And there's just an exchange in this locker room where it kind of had me bummed out, you know, where Rocky gets some news, but he talks to Michael B. Jordan. He's like, yo, man, you know, things aren't really what they seem. You know, you just came here because I'm your trainer. And it's like, man, this is a bummer.
But what I really liked about that scene the most was what happens when Michael B. Jordan leaves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then Stallone kind of is like, what am I doing? You know, why'd I say that? Just because it was so out of character for him to have said that in the first place.
Yes.
And I love the fact that the script forces him to deal with that and really just goes so much further to making it believable.
But isn't that such a Rocky moment? Like, oh, man, like, what am I? Like, he's talking to himself and he's just projecting outward and he's like, that's not me, you know? And that's what I liked about. You know, that's what I say, like, when it's very Rocky, it's like, you know, because he kind of bumbles himself from time to time. And then also, when he goes to visit him in a jail cell, I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is really, like, really good. Like, this is great movie making. Michael B. Jordan crying, it's just like, what? I'm getting emotional.
He almost went Denzel single tier, like, Glory, but then the other tier came out too. He's like, oh, okay, not quite Denzel, but still he's getting
single tier Glory.
But
that's got to be an award nomination category.
Well, he did win an Oscar for it, so it worked out. But
we're gonna continue that tradition by finding the single tier thing in movies.
Single tier,
and we'll name the winner.
But no, I mean, it is very well, and it's just it's entertaining. Like I loved watching this movie. I like seeing these people. I like the using Philadelphia and like having them just own this world and this boxing environment that they live in, seeing the montage stuff, seeing the things that you see in Rocky movies. Like, this movie, plot-wise, it does follow pretty much beat for beat what the first Rocky was, but that never bothered me watching this movie. Like, I was just so compelled because of these performances, because of the writing, because of the connection to the series. It just works.
The opening is really great, too, with the way that they cut to the title.
Uh-huh.
There's this one line of dialogue right before they cut to the title. It was like, okay, I get what we're doing.
It's a nice cold open. And it's a one shot too, that the very beginning of this movie, that just like the way it leads you into what's going on. I was very impressed with what Coogler's doing. It could have just been a cut and dry kind of sports film, some boxing scenes here or there, nicely shot.
It could have been something like crazy over the top.
I agree. Yeah.
Not Rocky's movie over the top, but.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's wearing a hat, doing his thing. But no, it really much felt like there was heart in this movie. Like, and I've heard like, what Coogler's had to say about why he wanted to do this movie. Like, it wasn't just like someone like threw a script at him and said, "Hey, you want to do a Rocky sequel?" It's like, no, he actually had this idea and he fleshed it out and he presented it to Stallone and Stallone said yes and it worked and it really worked out. It paid off and like well. Other things on Creed. Did you guys like the romance between Bianca and Adonis?
I thought it worked.
Yeah. Nothing to write home about, but it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It was something that, you know, at least it wasn't like over the top sappy or whatever, and to some degree it is. It's kind of saccharine, but it doesn't take up a lot of the movie as well.
I liked the hearing loss gimmick. I thought that was pretty effective writing.
Yeah.
Not really a big fan of her music, though, to be honest.
And I also like the way that Ryan Coogler directed one scene where he's talking through a door. I mean, that was something that you don't really get a lot of these days.
That's neat, because I did focus on that, too, and I focused on it again the second time. Just like when you asked something about some movie we saw last week or something. The Brooklyn, that shot.
The Brooklyn, where the shot works. We pick up on these things, Abe. 15-second shot of her just staring off.
We should do a podcast together, Abe.
Oh, we should, yeah. I mean, what would we call it, though?
We seem to notice a lot of the same things.
But about that shot, I mean, another movie may have just gone like, oh, she opens the door and then they make out. You know what I mean? But it's like, no. I mean, he actually says this line, which is kind of heartbreaking. He's like, I need you right now. Please don't leave me. And it's like, oh, man, like this guy has nothing anymore.
No, it's great. Yeah. We're talking about a boxing movie and we've already talked about the boxing.
The boxing is fantastic in this movie.
It shows how great of a character drama this movie is. But yes, the boxing is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy the sport of boxing, but I do enjoy boxing movies because they tend to there are bad ones, but they tend to put me on this like thought of seeing a boxer and wanting him to succeed. So by the time it gets to those final bouts, I get like really excited because I'm like, yeah, because of all that stuff that happened. Yeah, he's doing a good job now. So like watching this movie.
Yeah, he's doing the jab.
I watching him fight this giant guy who's, you know, going to beat the crap out of him. It's like, yeah, I got a shot in. Look, he made him bleed. Like those things that just makes me want to stand up and like cheer.
But not only that, but I mean, Adam, you kind of get this too. Like you're a taller fighter. You're a Taekwondo guy. But yeah, when you're
that's
a taller
his business
guy,
card says Taekwondo guy.
Yeah. But when you're fighting a taller opponent, you have to go in for the body because their reach gets you. And they mention stuff like that in this movie, so there's strategy involved, right?
Oh yeah.
The other thing I liked a lot, like Aaron, you had mentioned that there's a lot of like one take shots and whatever. The fight where he's fighting like the gym owner's son. I was ducking and weaving.
Yes.
Like, it's because it's so close in on the characters, and again it's kind of like this dance that they do, but the camera just works in circles and it's beautifully shot, but I was like, I caught myself moving my head from time to time, and it's like what is going on? Like I usually never do that.
I also
unless
really
it's like a jump scare.
There's a great moment too right before the fight where he needs to get his gloves cut off really fast.
All right.
And that was a great moment.
It's a very human moment.
These little touches that Coogler throws in there, they're really solid.
Maybe you mentioned the fight shooting, there's a great sense of space going on here, whereas like the Rocky movies, it feel when Rocky's fighting, those rings feel very long. Like it feels like there's a lot of space in between the fighters.
Yeah.
Where this movie's shot very claustrophobically. Like there's a lot of like tight, especially, you know, in the last fight where there's a lot of cuts in it. Like the first two fights, they're shot pretty much in one take. So but even then the camera still holds close. But there's a lot of like you worry for Adonis because it's like he's right there next to this guy. Like there's no escape room. Where like in Rocky, they're just throwing each other all over the place. Because as they point out in 5 in Balboa, Rocky fought wars in the ring. So like those were epic battles. Where this
one, you know, there's
like,
also a great moment too where there's a particular punch that that Donnie takes that then sets off kind of a flashback sequence, which I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but that was a really nice sequence because it really kind of brings to the forefront again all the things that he's fighting for and exactly why he's doing this and why this means so much.
And I think the concluding shot of that flashback was just perfect. I think
it was. And one of the things I liked about, I mean, first of all, the audience went, oh, and it was great because you could hear everybody just go, oh. The second thing is about that, they mention, like, he gets up really quickly or something like that, and they mention why. It's like, he's almost like a man possessed. It's like, I'm glad that you talked about that, because otherwise it would seem not as realistic.
And it was so great to have Max Kellerman in the movie.
Yeah. They had a bunch of cameos.
Because I listened to his show on the radio every day on the drive home, and they always talk about how, you know, Biggie is in boxing, how it's not a real fight unless he's doing it. So to have him in the movie was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually another thing that I thought about during the movie, and I know we're just heaping praise on this, but in the beginning, when Michael B. Jordan is watching clips of people on HBO, I mean, for a second there, I was like, this is great. This is like a boxing movie and a boxing documentary, like all in one. Like they're just gonna tell you it is to be a boxer.
We should link to the 30 for 30 for Rocky IV that they put out there.
Do they have one?
Have you seen that? Yeah,
that's like, so funny.
They put a 30 for 30 for the Ivan Drago Rocky Balboa fight.
I saw the one for the Sandler. Yeah, I didn't see the one for the Sandler, but I saw the one for Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield.
They did one for Space Jam too, I think.
Did they?
I had to come up here to get my butt whipped by aliens. Adam, you said you had a couple of hits here or there. Do you want to go into that at all?
A couple of what? A
couple of like nitpicks or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, there are some moments where Michael B. Jordan really hits it out of the park. And there are other moments where I just don't think he quite gets there. But again, I've just seen Fruitvale Station. So it's hard not to compare it in some ways. I really thought he knocked that one out of the park because I really felt like he was just sort of inhabiting this guy. In this movie, there's a scene where he has to cry that we mentioned, and that really, really plays well. But there are a lot of sequences where he's supposed to be angry. And instead of getting the sense of, oh, this is a really angry guy, I got the sense of, oh, yeah, here's an actor pretending to be angry because he needs to be angry, as opposed to him actually seeming like he was, you know, genuinely angry and whatnot. Because that happens an awful lot in the movie, where he gets these kind of fiery moments where he's like, you know, you don't know me and whatever. And I just didn't feel like it communicated that authentically. I'm not saying he can't get there. I'm not saying that in, you know, a couple of years and a couple of films, you know, he'll totally own that. But I just didn't quite feel like he handled the angry stuff as well as he does some of the quieter moments.
I could agree to that to a point. I would say that my thoughts on Michael B. Jordan as far as how good he is in this movie is based around the scenes where he's angrier. I would agree it's more based on, you know, the quieter moments that he's inhabiting, as well as, you know, the physical performance that he gives, because the dude did get bulked up for this movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, as compared to Fruitvale Station, which I, you know, they're very different movies despite having the same people involved. I would say that's a better film overall for different reasons, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And I think the kind of the character he's playing there, there's less riding on it because it is very much a kind of a day in the life story as opposed to a person coming into this legacy of films and stuff.
And also, too, I got to say, there's a montage that's really trying hard to kind of throw back to Rocky, where he's getting ready for his fight and he's running and they've got some music that's kind of reminiscent of the Rocky music. And then that whole thing was fine while he was running, but then he gets to this part where he kind of jumps. And then the camera starts swirling around and people are riding bikes around him in a circle. And at that point, I thought that was pretty stupid.
Well, I think that I like that part. Seeing it twice, I'm like, I enjoy it. I think that's the kind of replacement for the Philly stairs, because I'd much rather see something different than seeing him run up the stairs.
Yeah. Sure.
So I was happy that it did something.
I mean, would I want to see him wearing knee-high socks running through the ocean? Yes, of course I would.
I know what you're saying, though.
I know what you mean, though.
I think they set up that area of the neighborhood where there's people that just ride bikes randomly. And I think if there is more time given to that, maybe that would have been more effective.
Yeah,
but there probably could be. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like deleted scenes going into that neighborhood a little bit more.
Yeah, totally.
There's also a bit, too, where he's looking up at the window at Rocky, and Rocky's looking down at him, and he's just like, talking,
oh,
and you
modest.
Can't hear what he's saying. And it was – I hate that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that in terms of like most – flashy movie type things, yes, that was probably one of the things that really stands out as like, okay, well, this is clearly for like a crowd pleasing part of the movie kind of thing. I was okay with it because of I was so on board with some of these characters, but I know what you mean, Adam.
But I'd rather, I mean, that kind of ham-fisted attempt at a throwback, not so much, but later on in the movie, there's a part where they work the actual music in, that was dynamite.
It comes in right the exact right moments where I think,
yeah,
it doesn't stay
too long either.
It's a kind of comes in for a second to kind of give you a reminder of things and then goes away. But I like the music in general in this movie. I think there's some slight homage to Bill Conti's music throughout the series, with the exception of Rocky IV, mixed with, you know, kind of the, you know, modern day approaches, which is a lot of hip hop, which I liked. I thought it all played well into the movie. I thought it was a just another thing I really love about Creed, really.
Yeah,
they mix a lot of old with the new.
Can we talk about the very, very end of the movie, which I think is incredibly poignant? Like you were saying, I mean, if this is indeed the final time we'll ever see Rocky, I mean, what a great full circle moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not afraid to say I had tears in my eyes as I was watching it because it was just so incredibly moving.
I agree. There's a lot of genuinely moving parts of this movie, and that is one of them for me.
I'm with you though. The last shot of the film is pretty perfect.
I guess I would say if there were to be a sequel, I'd be kind of upset just because there's only so many places it could go, if you know what I mean, as far as where characters end up. So.
Well, he's got to get a rematch with the heavyweight champion. And then in the third one, he's got to fight Mr. T's modern day, which I think would be The Rock.
Well, he's got to fight that other, the punk from the beginning of the movie.
He has to get his Mustang back.
He did. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be like how Donnie got his Mustang back.
Yeah. And then, as you notice, we had a reuniting between Wallace and Avon Barksdale. So we have to get Idris Elba in here to have a stringer bell rematch.
that's actually another point that I liked about the movie, which is Avon Barksdale. I call him Avon Barksdale.
It's Wood Harris who plays
Wood Harris.
It's in The Wire, which we're
he's an amazing actor too. He's like classically trained and whatever else too. But he's like the son of the corner man for Creed. And it's not as though they play up these things like, hey, look at that guy. It's just more like, no, they mention it in passing.
And
like
just
they mention
every
other movie in passing.
Yeah. Like I didn't realize that until it got to that point where it mentioned like who he is. Like, oh, that's Duke's son. Because I was wondering, is Duke going to be in here? Because like these Rocky movies, they mostly have everybody in them with, you know, exceptions for various reasons when people, you know, die or whatnot. So it's like, oh, well, Duke's still. Oh, okay. I got Duke's son in here. Good. Good enough.
But, you know, yeah, it's a very small role. It's not as though he comes back later in the movie. It's just like he's here in L.A. holding down the gym.
Planting the seeds for the sequel.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Where should people see Creed?
Oh, man. If you can see it in IMAX, go see it in IMAX.
Oh, look at that. There's a rating I like hearing. Yeah.
We don't really throw those out a lot either.
You don't throw them out especially. Zach, where should people see Creed?
I'll second that. Yeah. Go see it on the biggest screen possible.
Adam?
I'd go with theater. If you like boxing movies, you'll like this one.
There you go. The movie went the distance for us, I guess. All right. Moving on now. Let's get to our sponsor real quick. Today's podcast is brought to you, as we mentioned previously, by Audible. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audiobooks for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. Additionally, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook download of your choice with a free 30-day trial membership to go with it. Just go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. You can go download a book for free and start listening. It's just that easy. You can check out the service. If you don't like the service, you can get rid of it, but you get to keep that book that you download for free. I guess I should mention Harry Potter is now available on Audible because
Yay!
That was an email that was sent to us and I'm required to say it. So there you go. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Check out Harry Potter or anything else you want to find on there. Be a winner.
Read.
Or listen at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. All right, moving on. Let's get to Out Now Feedback.
Feedback.
This is, of course, where we go over the various questions and answers that we received on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast. And, we had a number of questions here. You guys provided us some
questions.
So,
Zachy and Adam, feel free to answer these questions as well.
Sure.
First question we asked is, favorite coach or trainer character in film?
I think that's from Maxwell. Sorry.
Maxwell, friend of the show Maxwell, writes Kurt Russell in Miracle, Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own, Gordon Bombay from The Mighty Ducks, which whenever I bring up, Aaron hates me when I bring it up. And if TV counts.
You bring it up so seriously. That's why I don't have anything against The Mighty Ducks. Like, you just bring it up in these like serious moments. Like, that's the movie you're referencing right now? And
Gordon
not D2, the superior sequel?
And finally, Maxwell writes, Coach Eric Taylor, the best. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Taylor has Patches O'Hoolihan.
O'Hoolihan from
O'Hoolihan, sorry.
Dodgeball.
Jordan has Denzel and Remember the Titans. Tyler Dean has Haymitch from Hunger Games. Joe Jans has Mr. Miyagi, anyone who can trick people into doing
Mr.
his chores.
I don't understand how this could be anybody but Mr. Miyagi. He is the best.
Especially with the reason that Joe gives, which is anyone who can trick people into doing their chores for him is pretty cool. And lastly, Justin has Yoda, Molly McGrath, Wildcats, and Irv Blitzer in Cool Runnings. Man, Irv Blitzer, Cool Runnings is It's a movie that Aaron and I really like.
My girlfriend and I just watched Cool Runnings the other day, actually. We finished all the Rocky movies. And we were like, well, this makes sense. So you know, some people say, you know, you can't believe Jamaica. They got a bobsled team. In honor of the good dinosaur, favorite movie dinosaur? Tyler writes the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. Spencer writes dinosaur, which I just assume is Disney's dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Maxwell writes Littlefoot from The Land Before Time. Justin writes the T-Rex fossil in Night at the Museum. It's a fun pick. Okay. And Tyler writes Rex, which I assume, since he only said Rex, I just assume he means Theodore Rex from the movie Whoopi Goldberg, called with Teddy Rex, and we'll just leave it at that.
Perfect.
Any favorite movie dinosaurs, guys?
Not really.
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to say Theodore Rex.
Theodore Rex.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I'll go with Rex from Toy Story.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Wallace Shawn.
Yeah.
Right, I remember that. Remember that scene when Rex in Toy Story. I think that's who Tyler means, by the way. But he says Rex. But I mean, remember that scene in Toy Story when Rex is like, "You heard of Socrates, Aristotle, morons." That's a great line from.
You don't like the line where he's just like rah,
or when he's always yelling "Inconceivable." Classic Rex.
Classic Rex. Next question.
Was I scary? I've been working on my.
That's for the Princess Bride, Adam. Get the movies right here.
Adam.
No, he's.
I'm kidding. He's... Okay.
Geez. How dare you?
Wow. How dare you question me, sir? Alan, not you, Abe. Sorry. Other people do that, but not you. I'm going to call you Isaac or Jacob if you don't knock this off.
You can call me Isaac. I think that's my son's name in the Bible. Anyway. Who are two people you like to go see? Who are two people you like to see go 15 rounds in the ring against each other? Tyler has Aaron and Abe.
That's a great answer.
That is a good answer.
Place your bets. One.
Yeah.
Abe has the strength, but I'm scrappy.
Maxo has Lexi Alexander and Jeff Wells. Jape Man has Mr. Donald Trump and Paul Goebel, the king of TV. And lastly, Joe Jane says, Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley of Three's Company.
What a hilarious mix of entries that we had for that question.
it's spanned the entire spectrum.
I still want to see Ronda Rousey and Floyd Mayweather.
There you go.
In an MMA-style fight, not a boxing match.
Yeah. Next up, we have favorite non-sports movie underdog stories. Tyler writes Wreck-It Ralph.
Good movie.
Shalem writes Superbad. Joe writes Revenge of the Nerds. And Justin writes Bill and Ted.
I'm going to go with Star Wars.
There you go.
Yeah.
Zachy?
I'm going to go with the... I don't know.
That's a tough one. Underdog movie?
That's not a sports film.
Yeah. Underdog. That's what I'm going to say.
There you go.
There you go.
There's no need to fear.
The Peanuts movie. More, yeah, there you go. Contemporary.
The Peanuts movie? Okay.
I don't know.
He's the ultimate underdog. And he has
that's what they write on the poster, right?
I think so,
that's
something right. Like that, yeah.
All right, now we move into questions you guys asked us. And again, this is for everybody here on the panel, Aaron, Zachy, and Adam. Justin asks, watching The Good Dinosaur, I was amazed by the visuals. Do you think this movie was Pixar phoning it in story-wise, but making it visually stunning, or could this have been better? I felt like the movie was rushed, but somewhat boring of a story. And I guess it's kind of more for Aaron and Abe.
I can say this. I'm aware that there were like behind the scenes problems with The Good Dinosaur. It was delayed like 18 months from when it was supposed to originally come out, and there was a lot of like reworking of the third act. Pixar's never phoning it in. You don't put that kind of money into these kind of movies and just phone it in. Like it just takes a lot of time. Right. That said, I don't think the final product came out that well, and it's because of I think story issues. I think they never really seemed to know what they wanted to do exactly or how they wanted to really approach what makes this emotional core work. And that's not, you know, that's happened before, and it's happened to better success and lesser success. Brave was a movie where they had to replace the director. Yeah. Ratatouille was similar, but Ratatouille worked out really well. I mean, so there's, it's never too much, you know, lots of movies have behind the scenes problems. It's, you know, it's just whatever the final product is, that's what you can judge. And there's, you know, issues here and there. Think something recent, like, I don't know, Ant-Man, you know, where it lost Edgar Wright and got Peyton Reed. We never know what that movie would have looked like with Edgar Wright, but what we got was that movie that was fairly enjoyable. Abe and I, right? We agree with that?
Yeah, it's a good family movie.
It was, you know, it was fun, but you never can tell. But phoning it in, wouldn't say so. I think it's just more of a lot of creative decisions that, for it is like 70 something on Rotten Tomato. Like it's not terrible. No one's hating this movie. Right. It seems like I think
people understand that there's like some story plot holes. But
regardless, I
agree with Aaron that Pixar doesn't really phone things in. There's just a lot of stuff behind the scenes that kind of went on that can just translate to the screen.
Sometimes don't lead to the best results. Sometimes
the example I'd bring up is Brave, right? So again, when you watch Brave, there's two completely different storylines. One's very dark, and then one is very lighthearted with three bears. The one that's very dark is the most intriguing storyline in Brave. And unfortunately, that was, like, I think, the original director's idea, and they decided to go a different way with the story. So with this one, again, I think that there's a lot of good ideas in here, but they just didn't really have something that they latched onto and helped develop characters and then help you go on this journey with this character that you felt very attached to.
I wish they'd kept Brave's original title, which was The Bear and the Bow, which I thought made a lot more sense and was a much better title than what they ended up with. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And of course, we're only speaking from like our perspective and from a somewhat majority standpoint where the movie's okay. There are people that really love The Good Dinosaur. There's some people that didn't like it at all. And that's not to say, you know, Pixar movies are infallible either. I know, like, Adam, you're not the biggest fan of some of Pixar's, you know, bigger hits. Just like I'm not the biggest fan of some of, you know.
The only one I've ever really disliked was Cars 2. I mean, even the ones that I'm not the biggest fans of, I didn't dislike them.
And Cars 2 is a movie that Abe and I actually support.
It's so weird. Like, Aaron, I really like that one.
Of course, that it's still in my like bottom three of Pixar, but like at the same time, I didn't hate Cars 2. Okay, next question. This was from Alessandro. He says, probably not an original question, but as we're approaching the end of the year, what were your biggest surprises / disappointments of 2015? Thanks so much for all your great work, guys. Your awesome podcast is definitely something I am thankful for. Well, thank you for that. That's just really nice.
That is, yeah, it makes my heart very full.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, I could just end the sentence here, but I'm going to write this little compliment. That just makes me happy. biggest surprises and disappointments, Abe. I know we will do eventually a top 10 show and all that stuff,
this,
but any offhand things that you want to mention?
I'd have to think about it. Why don't you go ahead?
I'm thinking about it too. You guys have any things off? Oh wait, I have. What was it? Oh god, what just happened? there's one movie that was the Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that is a disappointment.
I felt like you kind of hope that Brad Bird would come up with an amazing movie, and it was fine. But it wasn't really a knockout of the park as I was hoping it would be.
Especially coming off of something like Mission Impossible, where it's really good. Mm-hmm. Tomorrowland, I'm thinking here.
It's rare they get surprised. I'm trying to think of a movie that like surprised me with how good it was.
I was surprised by how much I enjoyed Ant-Man.
I
knew going in I'd probably like it, but it's really stayed with me, and it's become probably definitely my favorite superhero movie of this year. But I mean, the competition's pretty weak this year. But just in general, I enjoyed it far more than I expected to.
Yeah, another surprise, Spy, which was fantastic. It's a great movie that I think everybody enjoyed on the panel when you guys talked about it. But I was really surprised because I wasn't sure how funny it might have been or how lame it might have been with some of the jokes, but I was very surprised by how good it was and how good it is.
I was probably the least on Spy, but I still really liked it. So.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise for me was Ex Machina. Was not expecting that to be just as fantastic as it was. And then biggest disappointment would probably be, unless I'm forgetting something, recently, Spectre. I was bummed out by Spectre not being better than it was.
I would agree with that. I could agree that I wouldn't necessarily go the route of disappointing, but yeah, I would say I wasn't as pleased by how it turned out compared to what I would have hoped for from a Bond movie follow-up.
Speaking of which, I love the fact that in Creed, the movie they're watching is Skyfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is Sony. Makes sense. But yeah, that did make me chuckle. It's like, oh, they're watching Skyfall.
Watching Skyfall, yeah. One last disappointment. I'd say Black Mass. I'm looking at a list now of movies that I've seen. It's like Black Mass wasn't as cohesive as I thought it could have been. Or might have been. So
I felt that could have went either way when I was thinking about it, like, and as far as like, well, I know I'll at least get something good out of Johnny Depp, but even then it's like, well, he's fine, like he's a good actor in general, so I don't expect him not to be acting well. But yeah, I know what you mean, Abe. It wasn't really, it looked like it could have been like a really solid gangster film, and it, you know, I hardly remember it. So
yeah, I mean, again, I just think that it's very linear film. They just tell you things that happened throughout the 60s through the 80s.
I can say I was disappointed that Fantastic Four did not prove me right. Like, I was really, like, gunning for that to be like, you guys are going to shut up after that movie comes out because it's going to prove you all wrong and how good it is. That didn't happen. Even if I'm not, you know, I don't hate the movie as many as some people seem to want to. Right. I know it's a bad movie. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Not many surprises, though. I'm trying, like, because I, like, things that, like, were hits that people, for some reason, were, like, straight out of Compton. It's like, I knew that was going to be a hit. I knew that was going to be good. Like, I'm not surprised by that. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I would say the same thing for Dope, too. I mean, like,
I anticipated.
I don't think that was a surprise because I liked the director because I liked The Wood. I love The Wood, actually. But yeah, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I think this is gonna be a good movie.
Ted 2 was disappointing. I was looking forward to Ted 2.
I think so was I, but I don't know if I was crazy on board with it.
I mean, we both really liked Ted, so I think we at least wanted a good movie.
Would you say that Crimson Peak was a disappointment for you?
I would say it's not a disappointment. I would say it's not as good as I would have hoped it would have been, but it's not like I wasn't like mad at the quality of it was versus how I anticipated it in my mind.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Not in the same length as some of the other movies I mentioned already.
Okay.
But, all right. I think that's a sufficient amount of question answering for that period, and that's some feedback.
Feedback.
And now, of course, it is time for games.
Oh.
Is it that time, Abe?
Is it, Aaron? I believe that it is time for some games. I'm pretty sure that's the same exact song that they played before the title sequence in Creed.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's remastered.
Digitally.
It's reappropriated, but I did it. I have a game here for you guys.
Yes.
It is called Can You Go the Distance? It is a...
Nobody's made a Hercules joke yet. I'm amazed.
I try to stay away from it.
I like that movie.
Well, babe, you did go from zero to hero to be on this podcast, so good on.
Yeah.
No time
for all right. It is called Can You Go the Distance? This is a movie about underdog movies, and I saw an intriguing list that had a number of underdog films, and it listed just, like, stars from them, but not necessarily the biggest stars from them.
Okay.
So what I have here is I'm going to read two of the stars that it listed and, like, briefly describe the movie, and you have to guess what movie I'm talking about. These stars are, of course, designed to not help you very much at all, unless you're very good at this, so good luck with that. Some of them might be easier than others, okay. Especially this first one as an example. But with that said, to ring in, just say your name. To buzz in and then say the answer if you think you know it.
Are these sports underdog films or just underdog movies in general?
They are all sports movies.
Okay.
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 You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Frank Stallone and Burgess Meredith are the star of this film about a bum who attempts to take on the champ.
Zachy. Rocky?
Rocky is the correct answer. Zachy is on the board. Here's the next one. That was the gimme.
Okay. I figured.
Here we go. Remember, these stars are not designed to help you.
All right.
Hayden Panettiere and Kate Bosworth star in the film about two groups coming together to play great football and other socially challenging things.
Abe.
Yep.
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans is the correct answer.
Huh.
She was the daughter of
Hayden Panettiere
from Armageddon.
We're gonna win state.
Was that Hayden Panettiere? Is she here? Yes. Is she on the show?
Yeah, she's
welcome, guest Hayden Panettiere. I can't pronounce your last name.
Sit over there. Wait for kid.
She's in the corner.
Okay. Next one. Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn star in this film about a welder with big dreams.
Abe. Rudy.
Rudy is the correct answer.
Wow.
Yes, they are both in that.
I love Rudy.
Here's the next one. Malik Yoba and Dougie Doug star in this film about a group of guys who go to Canada to prove that their wacky dreams can come true. Zachy?
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings is the correct answer.
Cool Runnings, man.
Here's the next one. Jay Baruchel and Michael Pena star in a film about a reluctant coach proving whether or not tough is enough.
Michael Pena?
this has you all written all over it.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Jay Baruchel. What mood did they work in together?
What was the description again?
A film about a reluctant coach proving whether or not tough is enough.
I don't know.
I can hear it in my head.
I know you can.
Zachy.
Oh, yes. Adam.
Zachy?
Is it Dodgeball?
No. Adam?
Oh. $1 Million Baby.
$1 Million Baby.
Oh, wow.
Correct answer. Yeah, Jay Baruchel, he gets like beat the hell up.
Oh my gosh.
If I don't know that, I'm in trouble. That's my favorite film.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. Okay, next one. George Foreman and Melissa Leo starred a film about a mother, a brother, a sister, a sister, a sister, a sister, a sister,
Adam.
And a brother who boxes. Yes?
Adam, The Fighter.
The Fighter is the correct.
Fighter.
That was my favorite one to write, by the way.
I didn't know George Foreman was in that movie.
Here's the next one. Elizabeth Shue and Billy Zabka starred a film about the best, about being the best and not letting anything keep you down. Yes?
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid is the correct answer. Being the best and not letting anything ever keep you down.
Very nice.
That was my second favorite thing to write.
Kudos.
Here's the next one. John Lovitz and David Strathairn starred a film about proving when it is and is not appropriate to cry, certainly not during America's Pastime.
That's like the tagline of the poster, I think.
Zachy. A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own is the correct answer. Good job not saying things around your name and buzzing in and saying the correct answer. Abe can take note from that.
I was thinking of a movie.
Here's the next one. Frank Grillo and Nick Nolte star in a film where a teacher and a soldier do their best to give each other a great big hugs. In
Abe.
The King. Abe?
Warrior.
Warrior is the correct answer.
I think it was like the first time we saw Frank Grillo.
Here's the last one.
All right.
Barbara Hershey and Dennis Hopper star in a film about redemption in the face of a community that needs a better basketball program.
Zachy.
Hoosiers is the correct answer.
I was going to say Beaches.
I'm good.
It's like, oh, sorry, the Prince of Tides. Prince of Tides.
Adam, unfortunately, you came in third place this week, but you still got on the board a couple times.
Woo!
You got in second place this week.
Boo.
But the champ is Zachy.
Woo!
You have won Can You Go the Distance?
Very nice.
Proving that he can.
Proving that he can go the distance.
Play me out with Eye of the Tiger.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's an editing note that Abe should do.
Hey, can we hear Eye of the Tiger on the xylophone?
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, ding. Sure.
All right. That's games. Let's move on now to Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These movies that are coming out on Blu-ray or DVD this week, and we have a few here. First up is Mistress America, the second Noah Baumbach film from this year.
Oh, yeah. Right, right, right.
Adam, did you see this one?
I don't really like Noah Baumbach.
I'm aware. Curious if you saw it.
So that would be a no.
I've liked his past couple of films. I missed this one in theaters, so I still want to check. I liked Francis Ha and While We Were Young from earlier this year, so I wanted to see Mr. Zachy, did you see it?
I have not.
Okay. Next up is Mississippi Grind. This is a film with Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn, which I literally just got for Blu-ray to review.
Oh!
And I'm excited to check this one out. I've heard good things about it.
Okay, yeah. I've seen the trailer for that. It looks very interesting.
Actually, I haven't even seen the trailer. I just saw the poster. It's like, all right, I like Ben Mendelsohn, and Ryan Reynolds is good in dramas, so we'll see where that goes. And
smaller films. Yeah.
Now I have it in front of me, so I can actually watch it and find out. report next week. Speaking of which, Dad Movie Report.
I love these.
He loved Creed.
Oh, he loved it. Okay.
He loved Creed, yes. Okay, that's Dad Movie Report. Okay.
Your dad would love Creed.
Later.
Next up, let's see. Fear the Walking Dead Season 1 out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. That is certainly a spinoff of The Walking Dead. Is it good?
is that Jerry Lewis?
It was, no, Jerry Lewis is anyway, next up, Zoo Season 1. This is a show I did not watch about
what?
Animals going bad.
There's a movie, there's a TV show called Zoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's based off some, like, who did it? Is it like a Dean Koontz book or something? the show.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I vaguely remember what you're talking about now.
It was a show on CBS. I don't watch CBS, so it doesn't matter. to me, it doesn't. But it had a whole season.
I watched the Late Show.
But it involves like animals going like crazy or something. I don't know.
That makes perfect sense.
It's called James Patterson. That's what I'm thinking of. It's like,
okay. It's a prequel to the whole entire Kung Fu Panda series, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Where animals take over. Next up, Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse, which I quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
Fantastic film.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Next up is Goodnight Mommy, which was a horror film I really wanted to see and had not had a chance to.
Did anyone? The trailer looks incredibly disturbing.
Zach, did you see Goodnight Mommy?
I have not seen it.
God. No one's seen these movies.
Sorry.
but yeah, I'm really interested. I think Peter Parris, friend of the show, he's seen it and he's liked it quite a bit.
Cool.
Let's see. Cooties, movie about zombie students versus teachers. Heard mixed things about this one. It's something. has Elijah Wood and what's his name from The Office? Dwight.
Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson, thank you. Let's see. Zoolander Collector's Steelbook Collector's Edition. Walmart exclusive until January. That was on the list, so I had to mention it.
Until January.
The Blue Steel Edition.
Okay.
Next, and lastly, The Naked Gun 2.5 and The Naked Gun 33 1/3 make their Blu-ray debut this week. So if you wanted to complete your Naked Gun Blu-ray trilogy, you can now do that.
Yeah. I really love Naked Gun Part 2.
Yeah.
2.5?
No, Part 2.
What?
No, I've seen Part 2 and 2.5. I've seen both of them. I'm just being a dick.
Okay.
There's no Naked Gun Part 2. That's
got it. Okay.
That's the funny thing about the movie series.
You say things so straight, it's hard to keep your joke.
That was a reach.
The sarcasm level was on a low on that one.
It was a bit of a stretch, my friend.
Okay. I love Naked Gun Part 2.
Okay, well, that's out now. Presents was out now. Next up is Extremely Cool. These movies that are now on Netflix that I want to recommend. I have mentioned last week Jessica Jones, which I'm still only 2 episodes away from completing, but it has not stopped being good. It's actually become very great.
I started it, and I now see what you mean by the Veronica Mars aspect.
Uh-huh. Let's see. But yeah, new on Netflix, I saw Dimitri Martin has a new stand-up special. I like Dimitri Martin.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing what he does. And let's see. People, Places, Things, a movie I did not get a chance to see, but I've heard good things about with Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. There's that. That's on there now. That's on the top of my queue. And I saw this documentary that I'm happy to see on Netflix, Dark Star, H.R. Geiger's World. H.R. Geiger, best known for his designs of the alien creature, the xenomorph creatures in Aliens.
And okay, cool.
There's a whole documentary focused on him. Abe and I have recently talked about documentaries on this show, so why not recommend a documentary? Yeah. There's one for you. Dark Star, H.R. Geiger's World. That's now on Netflix. All right. So with that out of the way, next week's show, Abe.
It might be
Krampus.
Yeah, it might be Krampus.
I'm really looking forward to Krampus. That's it.
I'm curious about it.
If we do Krampus, I really want you to watch Trick or Treat.
Oh man, that's a lot to ask for.
It isn't. It's one movie.
I know, but
it seems decidedly simple to ask.
I'm not huge on the horror.
It's not that scary.
All right. Let's do Krampus and Trick or Treat then.
Well, you'll watch Trick or Treat in general.
I will.
Just because I want you to be familiar with Michael Dougherty's work, because he's
yes,
a director.
I will. I'll watch that, Behind Closed Eyes.
And I hope that Krampus is good. I'm looking forward to Krampus quite a bit. It has Adam Scott, who I'm a big fan of.
And if I can catch Macbeth, sure. I'll catch Macbeth.
Oh, yeah. If Macbeth comes out, I would love to talk it. But we'll see. See what happens. We got some things coming up in this December month. Exciting to be excited for.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we do here. What should people go and see now, and what do you plan to see next? Adam Gentry, what should people go and see in theaters right now?
Ooh, well, I guess go see Creed. I haven't seen as many of the other films that are out as I would like to be able to you know, quality recommendation. But yeah, go see Creed.
And what do you plan to see next?
I still haven't seen Bridge of Spies. Really want to see that.
I'll get on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zachy, what should people go and see now in theaters?
Spotlight. I want to really push hard on that because I think it's fantastic, one of the best movies of the year.
And what do you plan to see next?
Legend.
All right. Cool. I want to see Legend too with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Two Tom Hardys for the price of one.
There you go.
Abe, what should people go and see in theaters right now?
I second the Spotlight recommendation. I think that it's a movie that people should definitely see. I love Creed too, but Spotlight's kind of like running out of the movie theater screen time. And then coming up next, probably Krampus. If not, anything else that I may have missed. I did miss Victor Frankenstein. I think that people...
yeah, we missed Victor Frankenstein.
People have been giving that a great review, so I should go see that, right?
I can't... Oh, man. Got to get on that immediately. Where did the, I don't even know where that was in the box office, mainly because it was probably so low.
They said it was one of the worst... the worst...
12th.
Ever.
12th place.
Ouch. Well, the worst ever? Like, worst in terms of...
Well, as far as like a major release during a holiday, yeah, it's in 12th. It's in 12th place on the box office.
I'll go watch it and I'll review it for
since
everybody.
Since Wednesday when it opened, it made $3 million. So there you go.
12th. I mean, to be fair, that's like, you know, how much Daniel Radcliffe makes in a month. So
let me just throw this out there: movies that are on less than 900 screens, Spotlight and Brooklyn, both 8th and 9th place at the box office this weekend. Victor Frankenstein on nearly 3,000 screens, 12th place at the box office this weekend.
Ouch.
Right above Trumbo, which is only at 617 screens. yeah, Victor Frankenstein. Anyway.
It looks kind of fun.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
I don't know. I take it back.
C on CinemaScore, by the way. Not that this matters. A for Creed and the Good Dinosaur. Not that that matters. Let's see, what am I doing? I would recommend Creed and Spotlight. That's what I wrote down, and that's what I would recommend. Yeah, do those. And next up, I am seeing Spike Lee's movie, actually. Chi-Raq. Looking forward to it. It looks a lot like late 80s, early 90s Spike Lee, and I'm hoping it delivers. But Spike Lee, much like Woody Allen, tends to be on and off. So we'll see how it works. Hope it's good, though. Cool. I like Spike Lee. All right, so.
I like Spike.
Yeah.
That's the name of his campaign, right?
Yeah, I like Spike. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wears a Stars and Stripes hat.
Pointing at you.
What he got you exactly?
With his glasses.
It's basically Apollo Creed. That's what it is. it's Apollo Creed in Rocky IV before he gets killed. Anyway, that's it. That's gonna do it for this week's podcast. That's gonna do it for this week's episode of Not Now Thursday. You can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodazeek.com. You can find all my written movie review recaps and whatnot there. You can also find me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe.
Find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
Zachy Hassan.
I'm on Twitter at Zachy's Corner. That's Zaki's Corner. That's also my website, zachyscorner.com. If you're interested in Creed and Rocky, I actually went back and did retro reviews of the entire Rocky series.
Nice.
So those are on my website, so you can check those out. Also, my movie reviews go up every week at HuffingtonPost.com.
Adam Gentry.
You can find me at twitter.com/IL Twin Anarchist.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah,
I forgot to add a hashtag.
You did, yeah.
Hashtag everything you want to know about the movies.
There you go.
That's right. Hashtag awesome.
Hashtag old blogs. I love old blogs, by the way, of John Travolta and Seth Green and Robin Williams. old blogs. It's a great movie.
But
You can find all the other episodes about Now Thursday Day on iTunes and at Audioboom, as well as at Stitcher.
You can also listen to our old episodes over at SoundCloud, Podomatic, and HHWLOD.
You can email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Creed and the Rocky series and what you're looking forward to in December.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And make sure to let us know how to use Tumblr by going to our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com.
We know how to use it.
Adam, Zachy, thank you both for coming on
today.
Thank
you both.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
For sure. Pleasure to have you guys. Zachy, of course, you won the game, so that means you get a third time to come on this podcast at some point. Adam, you're from season one, so you have tenure.
I'm still waiting on that check, buddy.
Oh, it's coming. Wait.
But yeah, until next time when we talk about Krampus, it looks like, which I am excited for. It's such a like obscure thing, even though it is a Christmas movie. But
it's a Christmas movie, but yeah. I'm curious to see how it's going to go.
Yeah, but... Yeah, we'll see where things go from there. But until next time, that's going to do it for this week's episode. So long.
And goodbye.
Let it burn. And if I'm ever at the crossroads and start feeling mixed signals like Morse code, my soul start to grow colder than the North Pole. I try to focus on the hole of where the torch goes, in the tradition of these legendary sports pros. As far as I can see, I've made it to the threshold. Lord knows I waited for this a lifetime, and I'm an icon when I let my light shine. Shine bright as an example of a champion, taking the advantage, never copping out or canceling. Burn like a chariot, learn how to carry it, maverick. Always above and beyond average. Fuel to the flame that I train with and travel with. Something in my eyes say I'm so close to having a prize. I realize I'm supposed to reach for the skies. Never let somebody try to tell you otherwise.
There's something in your heart, and this in your eyes is the fire inside of you. Let it burn.
To replace some of the trailer for Creed.
I forget how it starts.
I just think of Stallone lines, but then it's...
Yeah, I guess we'll have to go with the restaurant scene. So, is this you and Apollo?
Yeah.
Heard that there was a third fight.
How you know about all this?
I'm his son.
That ain't true. Now I just want to do that scene.
Aaron, the problem is we can understand you.
That's impossible.